Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Seed in Society podcast. It is your host, Makeda, your chief action officer. And we have a really good conversation that's going to happen today. I already know it because today we have our wonderful guest, Jaden Sterling. He is the visionary founder and CEO of Sterling Stock Picker. And this is an award-winning platform that's flipping the script on traditional investing. So with a background that includes time at major financial institutions like Merrill Lynch and Citigroup, Jaden took everything he learned and did something radically different.
Curious about owning land, growing your own food, or building income that doesn't depend on you showing up every day? That's what I'm doing, and this is where I share exactly how. Welcome to Seed in Society. I'm Makeda Boehm, an AI strategist, homesteader, and tech sales leader turning paychecks into lasting multi-million dollar wealth. I use automation, food-producing land, and digital income streams to build real assets and long-term freedom for my family and help others do the same. If you're done trading time for survival and want to build on your own terms, you're in the right place.
He built a software platform that prioritizes transparency, education, and real results for regular people, not just the financial elite. So I am excited to dive into that because under Jaden's leadership, Sterling Stock Picker has become a powerhouse of data-driven stock analysis featuring AI-powered recommendations, real-time performance tracking, and a curated list of over 60,000 companies. And get this, it's currently outperforming sector averages by an incredible 150%. Welcome to the Seed in Society podcast, Jaden. That sounds incredible.
Thanks so much, Makeda. I appreciate you having me on the show today.
Absolutely. Can you tell me a bit more about that? Your story, your journey, you?
Yeah, happy to. So my story started, I'm taking you way back to when I was 14 and I had an epiphany. Have you ever had an epiphany?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you know it's like time stands still, and it's exactly what happened for me. Time stood still, and I knew it's like it was spoken to me on the inside in my gut, where I was told that I'd be speaking on stages around the world, that I would be talking about the topic of money, and most importantly, helping people be empowered by it, not be enslaved by money. And lastly, I knew that I would be teaching from personal experience, not from a book I read or a course that I took. So can you imagine 14, your whole life purpose is downloaded to you. And you know what? I just followed it. I went to school at American University in Washington, studied economics. And from there, went to work on Wall Street during the decade of the 90s. And something very interesting happened during that decade. I learned from my really wealthy clients how to build wealth through stocks, because the brokerage firms that I worked for weren't telling me that. They were recommending that I sell my customers stocks like John Deere and IBM and diversify the portfolio. We've all heard that word, right? You have to be diversified. Yes. Into mutual funds and unit investment trusts and managed money, these packaged products that weren't really giving a great return. And when I ran the numbers and realized, if my clients had just held on to those individual stocks and not sold them, they would have outperformed, you know, just done so much better in their performance and in their portfolios than having diversified the portfolio. So I learned from that lesson, and I bought one stock during the decade of the 90s, and I turned $70,000 into almost $1 million during that decade. It was the parent company of the firm that I worked for, and it tripled during that decade. Now, I didn't know it was going to triple, but every month I just kept buying it in part of my employee stock option program, kept adding to it, and then it gave me financial freedom. So from there, I started investing in affordable housing And I ended up in a city in Florida called St. Petersburg, Florida, a really beautiful city by the water there. And there was no quality affordable housing. It was like all kind of South Side stuff. And there just wasn't any nice housing for people who could, you know, had limited funds. So I partnered with the city through a series of events. I got to meet the head of the housing department in the city. And from there, I ended up getting 125 units from mixed use properties to commercial real estate to apartment buildings. And I've always operated under the premise of if you do well for others, you'll have all your needs taken care of. And that's exactly what happened. Then from, you know, after all that, it was like 2008, 2009, we had a real estate market crash. That was no fun. And then in 2009, early 2010, we had a stock market decline. And it was that time period when I noticed, holy smokes, like some of these amazing, you know, you could buy Apple stock for $20. Like it was just phenomenal, you know, what happened during that time. And so I just went right back into the stock market, got out of real estate, and then I've been teaching about building wealth ever since.
That is very interesting. I think it's really telling how you went into this career and being in these financial markets, and you just gave us kind of an insight that is very counterintuitive to what we always hear, which is diversify, diversify, diversify.
Yeah.
And it's kind of goes into what I think about with investing, as I talk about on here and within the whole Seed in Society infrastructure and, you know, what Makeda does, which is asset-based wealth. I am not a big diversifier in the sense of buying a whole lot of stocks. I buy property. I like to have, you know, tangible resource asset-based wealth. However, I understand that that's not always the best route for everybody. And I wanted to bring my audience different perspectives from someone who is doing, you know, investing in the stock market, but very much likes it to be values aligned. Can you talk about that a bit?
Well, yeah, you raised such a good point. There's so much power in investing in real estate. Like, I love real estate. I love everything. I love that you get depreciation on your tax return. I love that you get income. So what I would do is I used my stock portfolio as collateral to buy apartment buildings.
And interesting.
Basically, I would say to the bank, hey, I'm looking at this 8-unit building. And instead of me liquidating any of my assets, why don't you just hold on to my IRA over here? I'm going to do it here. You know, here's the list of things I'm going to accomplish on the property, get it fixed up. You know, it was in rough shape. It needed new windows and a paint job and, you know, things like that. And half the building was empty. So I knew that once I got all the work done, I could rent it at current market rents and reappraise the property and have a real asset there. And I said to the bank, I'm going to do this in 6 months. And when the property reappraises, can I get my IRA back? And they said, absolutely. So what ended up happening was at the closing, I rolled in a construction loan into the deal. So I actually got a check for $50,000 back at closing, no money down, and a brand new asset on my balance sheet that I was able to increase rents or rent units that were vacant. Got my IRA back. So literally a no money down deal. So I think people, you know, it's really important to get creative, right? As we're doing deals. And because so many people are worried, like, oh, I don't have, you know, 100,000 or 200,000 to put down on a property. And there's just so many different ways to go about using different asset classes to build your real estate portfolio.
Yeah, can we talk about that a bit more? Yep. Like right here, we really don't like to use too much jargon. I'm also learning. I love to have these conversations to learn. Yeah. So you mentioned an IRA and different asset classes. Talk to us like we've never heard of this before, or I've never heard of this before. Yeah. How would you explain it?
Totally happy to. So an IRA is a tax-deferred vehicle to buy assets in, like stocks, gold, silver, things like that. And it, all the growth in that IRA grows tax-deferred. So with a, there's two different type, there are actually three different types of IRAs, but let's just keep it simple. Let's go with a traditional IRA that gets funded with after-tax dollars. So you've paid taxes on the money that you're putting into the IRA. And there's certain limitations about how much you can put in every year. But whatever you have in that IRA, it all grows tax-deferred. There's no tax on it.
So does that mean when you cash it out, you don't have to pay taxes on it again because it was funded with money you already paid taxes on?
Well, with an IRA, you with a Roth, you pay the taxes ahead of time. With a traditional, it goes in tax pre-tax.
Okay.
So traditional pre-tax grows tax-deferred. You take it out, taxable.
Okay.
With a Roth, it goes in taxable into the IRA. So after tax dollars into the IRA, gross tax deferred, take it out, no tax.
Just so hit those... me. I have a Roth IRA. But good. When it was just said IRA, I was like, huh. But once you said Roth, it hit. But that's the thing with financial education. It is really accessible. But there are different terms and different you know, peculiarities or things that are unique that it's something that you have to constantly practice at. So, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the more knowledge you have in the field of finance, I think the better off people are. Like for me to really get up to speed with my real estate, like I ended up taking the H&R Block tax course or for businesses. And because I wanted to know all the nuances, I wanted to know what I could, you know, write off. I wanted to know what I could really focus on to build my portfolio. So, it just helped me. It just helped educate me in the area of money and investing and taxes. And, you know, it wasn't that expensive. And it was, I don't know, maybe it took me a month to get through the course. It was a live course. And so, yeah, I think how, you know, if anyone can look at educating themselves around vehicles to help build wealth, so that would be one vehicle. And then being really bold with lenders, like especially now, sometimes the big banks don't go for this kind of thing, but I went to local lenders, community banks. And those are the ones that I said, hey, you know, my property on the corner there, this property I'm looking at, that's the one. So they're already in the community. They're familiar with the real estate there. And if you have a plan, you know, you can just show them the plan that you've got, what you want to accomplish with the property, they'll be super flexible, you know, in terms of lending requirements. And like, there's just so many different ways to go about it. But you just got to get creative and bold. Ask, right? Because if you don't ask, they don't let you do things like that.
Absolutely. Actually, when we moved here, so I'm on 10 acres in Tennessee. Nice. And when we moved here, this was a complete gut job. So we could not get a conventional mortgage or anything like that. Okay. We were very fortunate where my mother-in-law literally cashed out her 401k for us to fix this out, redo it. And the goal was to get a conventional mortgage when they were like 2%, 3%. Yeah. And anyone who's done construction knows that best laid plans, because my husband and his dad were doing all of it. He's a contractor, my father-in-law.
Oh, nice.
And we were very fortunate at the time that we got the property. By the time we fixed up everything and I got into tech and was able to pay her back and some, our property has over quadrupled in value from what we were able to purchase. But one avenue we were thinking of taking before she did that amazing thing was going to a community bank because they offered construction loans.
Yeah.
At this time, like I said, interest rates were like 3-4%. The construction loan was like 10-11%, and yeah, it was a lot shorter. It was like 3 years or 4 years, not a 30-year mortgage. But it was an avenue. If we didn't have that other option, we would have bet on ourselves and we would have taken that opportunity, because property and real estate are one of those things that can appreciate in value very quickly, especially if you are willing to put in the sweat equity.
Yeah. And what I loved about commercial real estate, apartment buildings and things like that, mixed use properties, is that it's strictly by the numbers. When you increase rents, you create value there. And unlike single family homes where, you know, you're in it, you're fixing it up, that creates the value. But with commercial and apartment buildings, mixed use properties, it's all based on rents. So it takes the burden off of you qualifying and it puts it on the property. Can the property qualify for a loan? And it just makes it so much easier, you know, to really build a sizable portfolio within a short period of time.
Absolutely. So that's super interesting. I love the idea of mixed use properties. And that is one of my goals to own at least an acre in every state and some. And we want to build out from that perspective. That is my retirement plan. But I'm interested in how you went from mixed-use properties and apartment buildings to Sterling Stock Picker. What inspired you to launch that?
Yeah, I'm happy to cover that. But one thing, your goal about the acre in every state, I would recommend a focused approach. And so I did research on what is the most tax-friendly state in the U.S. Do you know what it is?
No, I don't know what it is. I would think it would be something like Tennessee or Nevada or Texas. I've lived in them all. They don't take state income taxes.
Wyoming.
They have that really great trust, the Wyoming Trust.
That's right. They have the Wyoming Trust. They have low percentage of property taxes based on values of properties. They have no state income tax, and they have one of the lowest tax bases in the state. And so, in the United States. So I would really look at owning multiple properties in a state like Wyoming rather than an acre in every, because I think you'd be way too diversified to keep track of all that. But anyway, that's just my best recommendation.
No, that's amazing advice. When I talk about this all the time, I'm on 10 acres of unrestricted land out here.
Nice.
$500 property taxes.
Beautiful.
A year. Right? That is, and we're mortgage free. So often talk about my biggest expense is insurance because I pay a lot of that. But it's very fertile land. We have running water. It is a dream. But we also are in a town with no stoplights. And I understand it now when people come and they're trying to develop it and the town shuts it down very quick. Like, you can keep your restaurant or whatever you're trying to bring here away. And now I'm not opposed to it as long as I can mind my business. But
you really did it right. Like, being mortgage free is key. That is a life. You know, when you're looking for financial freedom in life, you've really got to know in the United States that the first 7 years of a mortgage is interest expense.
Absolutely.
Very little principal is paid back during the first 7 years. And the interesting thing is most mortgages refinance after 7 years. So it's so difficult. So any amortized mortgage more than 22 years, you're really paying way too much in taxes interest expense.
Yeah.
So I recommend anyone looking at a mortgage, make sure the amortization is 22 years or less. And make multiple payments toward the principal as you go. Like, don't allow for, you know, to be held up in a mortgage for 30. There's 40-year mortgages in the U.S., probably 45-year mortgages at this point, you know? It's insane. and it's a trap.
Absolutely. It definitely is a great way to get in there. But even when we were going to get the mortgage, it was always with the idea of paying it off in 5 years or less. Awesome. And then even now, like, we put everything in a trust for our children because it's from a legacy perspective. And then we're also going to do like tiny homes. We're clearing that out so that it's income producing property as well. And that's
good,
like, what I talk about. But back to the reason of the acre in every land, it also is a network. So we're thinking of buying it anywhere that's 3 or 4 hours, like one drive where we would have to stop. I have a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. So they tend to be able to make it about 5 hours in the car, maybe six before we have to get a hotel.
Where they get cranky. Yeah,
exactly. So the goal there is to get a property within a certain radius from our home and then get the next property within the certain radius from that. And then in each direction. And while we're not there, they're being maintained as either Airbnbs or hip camps. So nothing super fancy. But as long as we have land that you can grow something on, or it's appealing enough for people who want to come out. So that's where the 1 acre in every state kind of comes from, where it's like we want to actually use it. We like to travel and we spend a ton on hotels. Like, Hilton loves us. Marriott loves us. And even when I'm like, okay, well, now I want to get an RV. I want my next vehicle to be a Sprinter van, even just as my everyday vehicle. But also, if we're driving somewhere, we can take a nap. They can use the bathroom, and it becomes an asset rather than money that just goes into the wind. So that's kind of where the dream comes from.
I love it. I love it. I love that you all, first of all, that you dream, that you have a dream. And secondly, that you plan. And third, that you actually take action on it. Like, it's so great. You know, I'm hoping our listeners are really taking note about this, that it is possible to do, you know, to have a life of financial freedom. You just got to go about it a little differently. So that kind of brings me to why I went back to stocks. And as I mentioned, I figured out ways to get my stocks to work for me as like collateral and down payments for property. But at the end of the day, I realized, wow, stocks are a lot less work than real estate. Like, real estate just took up so much. And I had 15 employees. Like, we had a really big business with it. I ended up getting like my broker's license and mortgage broker's license and contractor's license. And there was all these licenses. And I was like, okay.
So many licenses.
This is crazy. You know, the licensure, the payment, like all of it just became too much. But what I always fell back on were stocks. Stocks were always a thing that I knew really well and that I knew that, you know, could really make a difference for people. But I just knew I had to really bring in the educational component for people. So I started a course called Money Mentor. And informally, I started mentoring people about wealth, wealth creation, how to put together portfolios, how to, you know, make them stack, like you build your stock base and that goes to real estate and then from real estate to commercial properties, et cetera. And I was doing it just for free, like out of my office building. I would just, you know, have people come and they listen and do. What do you think they did with that information?
Nothing.
They did nothing. And it was maddening. And I was like,
people tend to not value things that are given for free.
You got it.
To put some type of skin in the game. And it's literally like, you love it. You love giving this information. You love when your friends call you and you tell them the 80th time how to make money and they don't listen. And then next year, it's the same cycle. You charge for it. And I talk about that often because, like I said, I've been on my own since 16. I faced housing insecurity. I worked 3 jobs through college. So I often say that from an action perspective, if I could do it, I call it homeless to homestead. If I could do it, then you absolutely can. But a lot of times people have to invest in what it is they want to know because now there's that pain to do it.
Yes. You value what you pay for. And so I started formalizing the program in 2017. And it just could see life after, people's lives changing for the better is so awesome. And it brought amazing people into my life. And one of those amazing people was a student of mine, and she said, "I love what you're teaching. Could you make this into software? Is that possible?" And I'm like, "Oh, huh. There's the universe again, right? Kind of giving you a little tap on the shoulder. Maybe this is the next thing." And I said, "Well, I'm not a software developer, but I'll see, you know." And because what I was doing was, with all the aspects of the mentorship, I was having people go to different websites to get certain information. And she was just saying, "You know, if you could just put all that in one spot for us, that would be great." So one of my students came to me shortly, maybe with 8 months after that, and he said, "Hey, I've got my business partner and I have some time because we had some contract changes for our company, and we're programmers, and we've got some time. Are you working on anything that you need help with?" And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, a gift from the universe, right? Like, holy smokes!" I'm like, "Yes, I do. In fact." So we sat down, and over a course of many, many, many months, we came up with. I said, "Look, if we can help novice investors, people who have never invested in the equity markets, find winning stocks in two clicks or less, we'd really have something." Mm-hmm. So that's what we did. We created software that anyone, whether you're a novice or expert level, whatever level of investor you are, you can find winning stocks very easily. And that was 8 years ago. And through the course of the last 8 years, we've grown our user base from zero to 2,500 users. And we did a capital raise of $750,000 that we invested in the infrastructure of the company. And it's done amazingly well. We've won many awards for being in the financial services best SaaS company out there. So that's been really great. Global awards. So that's been nice, because it's almost like, you know, when you know you're doing something right, but when you get that external validation, it feels really good. That's what that Absolutely. Did for us. Like, okay, cool. We got a little check mark there, you know, that we're doing something right. So that's been that. And so in the platform, we teach people how to have a focused, concentrated portfolio, not all over the place like mutual funds that are in 150 or 200 different companies. This is like 6 to 10 different stocks. And through a series of questions, we determine their risk level. But we also determine, which you talked about earlier, their values. And we've correlated all of the companies within the platform with the personal value. So I think there's like 33 personal, like financial freedom, obviously, is one of those personal values. And so our software just shows them companies that are in alignment with their risk level and also their personal values.
So that's incredible. So first, mm-hmm. I want to really point out to my audience, I turn down people who ask to be on this show to talk about stocks all the time, because I don't truly believe in traditional financial advice. The reason why Jaden is on this show is because this is exactly what this audience, this listenership needs, right? Like, to be able to go, like, you don't have to opt out of everything. Like, what's great for me isn't necessarily great for you. But this is an app that I fully intend on downloading and joining, because that is a big thing for me. I want to know where my dollars are going. I want to know what I'm investing in. It's one of my biggest reasons I have an issue with, like, employer 401ks, because a lot of times you're supporting companies or causes that your values don't align with. Sure. And for me, I also love this because I work in tech sales. I'm an account executive who sells SaaS, and I've worked for companies that are PE backed, right? Like some of the largest, Vista Equity and Warburg Pincus and all of those things. And what that means is that you have investors who come in and essentially they're almost activist investors, like they make sure that you're getting some of those outcomes that you want so you can have a 20% or 30% return year over year versus leaving it up to maybe. And I absolutely love this because that is exactly how I want to start investing. And I cannot believe this is not more known about and everywhere, but I also get why not, because the pups to be don't always want everyone to have a lot of financial freedom, or a lot of times it's not easy because then, you know, then everyone makes a lot more money, and sometimes you have to search for that. So I am so excited to bring this to my listeners and my audience, because this is wonderful.
I so appreciate what you're saying. And the traditional brokerage firms absolutely hate us. Like, we are blacklisted. You know, when we did our capital raise, we went to our user base, I didn't go to any banks. I didn't go to any financial. I didn't go to any financial institutions. I didn't go to any venture capitalists, because I bash the industry constantly, because the industry is set up to make people broke. I mean, when I got into the brokerage industry, you know, they track the percentage they earn off of clients' portfolios. It's called, the name just escaped me, but it'll drop in. And so they actually track velocity. They track the velocity of how much turnover is in a client's portfolio, therefore how much the firm is earning, not what the clients are earning. So when I clued into that, I said, oh no, this is not for me. I mean, there's fine people who work in the industry. They're part of a system that is, it's not broke intentionally. Like, the system runs perfectly because it makes these banks and brokerage firms a lot of money. And so what we do is, my biggest hurdle when I work with a new client, a subscriber, is I have to get them to wrap their mind around that they can get a way better return than 5 or 8% a year. So what I teach is, if you work hard for your money, get your money to work hard for you, expect at least 30 to 50% return from your stocks. Mm. 30 to 50. Now, that is life-changing money. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's actually making a difference in someone's life, not just slowly plodding along where it takes you 10, 15 years to double your money. We're talking a much more accelerated rate of 2 to 3 years of doubling your money.
Yeah, no, that's incredible. I talk about that often, right? Like, how I plan on being able to retire by 40 or before 40. And we really do feed into this idea that you're supposed to retire at 65. Now it's 72, right? No. It goes up. And exactly. It's one of those things, like, why are we, like, okay with that timeline when you can get to financial freedom a lot faster, especially if you really start to think about your consumption? That's another conversation.
It is.
For another time. But yeah, like, being intentional about what you consume, your cash flow, what's actually going in and going out versus what they keep telling you you need, so that you keep spending because it's going to be at 65 or 72 anyway, even though tomorrow's never promised. So
you're so smart and wise at even such a young age. Like, it takes a lot of people a lot of years to figure this stuff out. And you know, when they tell us like 50 is their midlife crisis is 50s, that's not midlife.
It's most 35. People don't make it to 100.
I know. Exactly. So when you start to recognize how the system is set up, that, you know, a job is an acronym for just over broke. It's keep, you know, like when someone has a job and they're in the highest tax bracket, paying the very few deductions. It's like, one of the first things people can do right away is start a business, right? Like, you were talking.
I paid 6 figures in taxes last year.
It's awful. It's just
six
awful,
figures.
Isn't it?
I'm I talk about this pretty often, what taxes put me through, how stress. And of course, I'm also grateful that I was able to make, you know, close to $500,000last year, because I often say this, the only reason I'm able to do a W-2 is because I also get commission. And if I did not get commission, I could not see me doing it. I would have to have my own business. And kind of when you are a salesperson, you run your territory like a CEO of your territory. And that is the only way it kind of makes sense to me, especially when you're also passionate about what it is that you do and the people that you're serving. But I tell people to think about that all the time, because technically, to be an employee, you have to make enough to pay yourself and your boss. And there's nothing wrong with that for people who really value PTO. Right? You value knowing that in 2 weeks, your check is going to show up as long as you do what your job function is. And that is 1,000,000% okay. But for some people, it is about wanting more. It's about wanting to be able to do what you want when you want, and not when you're too older to enjoy it. And I'm not going to say too old, because there's some 60-year-olds who are more fit than me, but you don't want to necessarily spend all of your time waiting for this arbitrary someday I'll be able to get the RV, someday we'll be able to go to Bali, someday. And then sometimes you don't get there. And that really hit me last year when I lost my mom at 52. And she was young, right? That's what people kept saying. She's so young. And to me, it was just like, of course, like, tomorrow is never promised. We were supposed to go on a cruise. This time last year, I was actually on the cruise we were supposed to be on. She passed away in July. We were talking every day about the cruise we were going to take in September. I was finally going to take this trip with her. I finally took off of work, and we didn't get there. And that was the biggest wake-up call to me, because you can plan, but life is going to do what it wants to do. And why wait? Because sometimes you just can't wait.
Yeah, I'm really sorry to hear that. That's so hard. I know when I lost my mom, it was super hard. And I just spoke at a funeral yesterday, a dear friend who helped. She was one of our investors in the program, and the software helped us make it a great product, you know, and it was interesting, you know, in that room, there were probably about 150 people in that room. And it was amazing how many people felt like her name is Nola, that Nola was one of their best friends. And I thought, wow, like, she got it. She got the important thing in life is relationships, you know, and friendship and being a good friend. And there must have been a dozen people in that room that felt like she was one of their best friends. Like, what a thing to accomplish in a lifetime, don't you think?
No, that's amazing. It's exactly what I thought of. Like, I'm here, I work from home, but my daughter and my son, especially my daughter, she's always like, mommy's in a meeting, mommy's working. And it was like, what am I waiting for? Like, she'll never be five again. She'll never be six. She'll never be this tiny again. He won't. Like, I don't want to just leave a legacy that, hey, mommy knows how to work or make money. I want it to also be, she spends time with us. We have time freedom. So we started a homestead. She's homeschooled now. We do like an international online school. And during her lunch break, we go out and harvest. She's getting cucumbers and picking green beans. Oh, and we hug every day. And we get to spend time like in between meetings. And it's like it's life changing for me, honestly. I'm getting emotional about it because it took a very conscious decision, and it's not always easy. We have a 2-year-old, no daycare. It's not always easy, but it's so worth it. They still sleep in the bed with us, and I'm not kicking them out because it'll come soon enough. Even though she'll hit me with every elbow, kick me all night, I'm just so grateful that this is where they want to be and that they love us and, you know, and that my husband is like awesome, but that they want to be around us and they get to play. And it's like, I I just don't believe in that the thing where it's like now you're teenagers or you're 18 and you go out and it's like this is your home forever. Like forever and ever. You'll have a tiny home next door if you get tired enough of me, but this is your room forever. Bring your partners here. Like I don't believe in that isolation and what we teach to kick them out the house so that they can get a new mortgage and a new set of bills.
So true.
So that it can recycle and you feel that loneliness and that exclusion from a family unit. And that's why we moved here. My father-in-law is a mile down the street on his 10 acres. My mother-in-law is dropping a house. We cleared out her space, a tiny house. Right here for when she's not traipsing around the world diving with sharks. She's who I want to be when I grow up, but she's also going to come here from time to time. And I love that. Like most people are like, you want your mother-in-law right there? I'm like, yeah, I love my mother-in-law. But even more importantly, I love that my kids can run right across the lawn to Nana. So, yeah.
You're creating memories. You're creating a life that your kids will always remember, and they get to draw from that and they get a shot at life because, like you're saying, they're not coming into, you know, a world where they're having to figure out how to buy a home for $300,000 or $400,000 or $500,000. You know, it's just, it's insane. It's incredible what's gone on in that, in the real estate space. And I think it's intentional. I think it's designed to put the hurting on people, higher property taxes, right? Higher values bring higher property taxes. And it really excludes a lot of people out of that space. So, but in your area and like Arkansas and South Carolina, North Carolina, in that whole area, there's Georgia, great opportunities. You just got to dig for them, but they're there. You know, they're definitely there.
So we're from Philly initially. And you know, the Northeast is not cheap. And we would say that it was kind of like, I remember I started my SaaS job, my tech sales job, and the on target earnings was 180K, but it's uncapped. That's how I've been able to make a lot more than that.
Nice.
And they asked us the first day, if money was not an issue, where would you live? And I was like, Philadelphia, right? And then I got to that point where I was like, well, why would I pay $400,000 for this house? So it's about $3,000 or $4,000 a month for 30 years. And what happens is people, life, things happen, and you cannot pay your mortgage for 6 months. And you realize very quickly who that house belongs to, and it is not you. And that's where, and then also, like, I love that I can leave my car door unlocked and the kids can run outside and the and then it was the property taxes. So we were looking at homes again, and it was like $5,000, $8,000. If you wanted a nice school, $11,000. Private schools, $25,000 a year just for preschool. And it became like, I will visit you. I love you all here. Like, my husband owns a recording studio up there, but I am not going back because it's a lower quality of life for the money you have. And if I'm someone who makes multiple six figures a year and I think it's expensive, then how expensive is it really for the general populace? And that's where I got super passionate about Seed in Society and finances, where I'm like, six figures is not enough. And I just thought it was very important to come here and tell people that, because I think we get sold that lie. Like, when you hit six figures, 100,000, you made it. And I'm like, maybe in the 70s, but that is not true today at all. And it's not you. It's not because you want your Starbucks. It's not because you splurged on that meal. It's because it is not designed to give you true time freedom.
You're so right. Like, I mean, we could go way back to how all this played out, you know, to the industrial age, and how Rockefeller and J.P. Morgan made sure they built their factories and built the homes right around those factories. They didn't want their workers late, you know, or to miss work. So, yeah, I really like where you're going with this. And I'd love to be back on your show at some point, and we'll just keep talking about this to keep the conversation alive, you know, to let people know, like, It's possible, even in today, you know, sitting at this time where things feel so expensive, there's still some great values out there.
Absolutely.
And to remind people, right, they make money when they buy, not when they sell. So it's really important to be mindful of what you're paying for and what's part of that. You know, I really, like, I'm sure you have a well and a septic, which is nice. Then you're not paying the city for all that, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. The more you can do to not be reliant on the system, I think the better off we are. And like you're saying with the homestead and, you know, keeping, I love that you're homeschooling the kids because then you can keep the creativity alive because traditional school doesn't do that, right? It just like,
I was a teacher.
Oh, so you know firsthand.
Oh, yeah.
So that's awesome. Well,
Julia, please tell me anything that you want the audience to know about you, what you're doing, Sterling Stock Picker. Of course, we'll have your links in the show notes as well, but sure. Please tell them why they need to be on this platform, how they can be a part of your world, and how they can continue to grow with you.
Okay, thank you for that opportunity. Well, you know, why they need to be on the platform. I don't know if they need to be, but if they prefer.
Interesting. That already makes me want to go more.
if they prefer to find a different way of approaching money and investing, then they head over to us. That's really what we do. Like if someone is okay with traditional a bank and, you know, what they're doing and credit cards and all that and big mortgage, go for it. But I'm going to bash the industries all day long, you know, and then you won't like me because you'll be like, I don't like what he's saying. I like my big mortgage and my big payments. And but
this is a no sovereignty problem. Podcast. You're in front of the right audience.
Awesome. Okay. I turn it on its head basically. And that's why I am so a black sheep in this space, but I love being that way. I'm going to always continue to be that way. So I live stream every week through the platform and I'm in our stock chat forum. So if anyone has like questions about, hey, I'm looking at this thing, what do you think? I'll respond. And that's always been my promise to our subscribers. Hey, if you're, you know, investing in our platform every single month, I'm going to be there to support you. So kind of an exciting thing I've got going, I'll share with your listeners is we're creating what's called a we call it the FTP, Frequent Trader Program. Mm-hmm. And, it's going to be for the investors who want a little more action out of their money. They don't want to just, they're not just buy and hold. They're like, hey, I know I can get a better return every week if I'm a little more active. So we're tuning our algorithms into identifying about 5 different companies every week that will outperform, you know, the indexes and do really well. And part of that component will be option contracts because options are a really lucrative way to boost portfolio returns. So we'll be offering that for our folks and affordably because we do everything affordably so that everyone can participate. Like I think our platform is quite affordable compared to many others out there. So that's what we've got going. We just want to continue to, you know, grow with people and really help them understand what it takes to have financial freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you share what the cost of your platform is?
Sure.
So anyone who's driving, thinking about this right now, they don't scare themselves away before even knowing what it is, because there's so much value in this. And I know how much it costs that I think you're going to be shocked at how affordable it actually is.
Well, I mean, we'll do one better for you and your listeners. We'll get you a link that will give your listeners 30% off the platform.
Nice.
So we'll get that set up. I'll have my assistant, Justine, do that for you. So 30% off. I think we charge 30 a month or 29 a month, something like that.
That is a steal.
Yeah. So $21.
That is less than, honestly, like McDonald's nowadays. I wouldn't know. I haven't eaten McDonald's in over a decade. I'm vegan. But I see the lines outside of McDonald's, and this is helping you to get that return. I will have the link down there. You heard it, 30% off. Yeah. And so incredibly affordable. And honestly, the thing that makes this ridiculously a great value is that Jaden is in there giving you education and advice and a community. So it's helping you to implement this and giving you that human touch. And that is what we need today in the age of AI. You know, I love AI, I use it, but the thing that's the differentiator is having a human who can help you parse through all the information we're getting. So yeah, that is incredible.
Awesome. Thank you for highlighting that. So true.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on our show, Jaden. I know I'm going to have you back on because this was incredible. And I will have the links down in the show notes. And hopefully in the future, I'll also tell you about my experience in the platform because I'm signing up today.
You're awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah. I really enjoyed our talk.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
You too.